Hello, this is Anil Kumar and welcome to Back to the Bible radio broadcast. Today we continue with Dr. John Neufeld's series on The King Goes Public with a message entitled The Announcement of the Kingdom. I just want to thank all the new listeners of Back to the Bible. So why don't you join us again tomorrow as Dr. Neufeld continues the series The King Goes Public right here on this station 101.9 FM or by visiting us anytime at backtothebible.in. So let's prepare for the message today by reading from Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 to 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Just before you begin, Dr. Neufeld, I know you are known around the world for the expositional Bible teaching. Could you tell us what that means and why it is so important?
Yeah, thank you for that question. You know, expositional Bible teaching means that the Bible teacher actually has two jobs. The first is to understand the Bible as it was originally written, what it meant to the people that first heard it. So that is to understand the Bible in its historic context. The second job of the expositional preacher is to take that ancient book and apply it to our lives today, to help someone listening to know exactly what God is saying to them and how to apply it to their own lives.
Thank you, Dr. John. Now let's go back to the Bible with Dr. John Neufeld.
Let's leave Jesus in Nazareth and get back to the action where John is preaching with this rising sense of expectation that the messianic age is about to break open. He's preaching with urgency, and as he preaches, he has only two things to share. First, the time to repent is now. And second, there is a great day of expectation. The kingdom of heaven is about to break open in the present hour, and as he preaches, the crowds are just getting bigger. I want us to see how the message of John was not only paving the way for Jesus, but continues to pave the way for him today. See, the way of Jesus is a way of repentance and expectation. John the Baptist is preaching in the Judean desert next to the only source of water out there, the Jordan River as it flows into the Dead Sea. And the crowds grow every day. And yet his message keeps being simple. Two things: repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't know what you think of repentance. I think the word is negative for essentially two reasons. The first is that we have all seen people repent whom we don't actually believe. How do you feel about the bankers who were largely responsible for the subprime mortgage crisis? It was motivated by greed and caused the largest recession in the world in more than 50 years. It's all fine and well to say you're sorry after you've been creating so much pain, but we all kind of feel that if anyone is sorry, it's only because they got caught. Or how do you feel about the famous pastors or politicians found guilty of adultery? I bet many of us wonder if they are only sorry they got caught. We've all seen the quintessential politician standing before the cameras with his wife by his side, holding hands, apologizing to his constituency that he had been frequenting prostitutes or any number of other things. Most of us are just tired of these things. We want no more of these public tears of repentance. We would rather there be a better sense of morality in the first place rather than the sorry damage that gets done. But when John preached repentance, it was of a very different variety. First of all, the word itself, repentance, needs some definition. The way it's used in the Bible has both a backward and a forward aspect to it. The backward aspect is the one that we're most familiar with. It deals with genuine sorrow and remorse for sins that we've committed. And when we think of this aspect, it includes a number of features. One is intellectual. It is a profound realization that what I have done is wrong. It's evil, immoral, or sinful. But repentance also bears with it a sense of emotion. There's a deep sense of grief that overwhelms the person who repents. But there's also more. There's a volitional sense around repentance. Because John called people to publicly repent, he's calling for the end of secrecy, the willingness never to hide our sins again. And perhaps most important, repentance, if it's real, hates the sin and is less concerned about getting caught. I'm reminded of David's sin with Bathsheba. And what repeatedly amazes me is that David wrote a psalm about that. And you and I know that the Psalms are written as a kind of a hymn book to guide Israel's worship of God. David was insistent that all Israel would learn about his sin from that day forward, and they should sing about it in worship, so that they would also learn about God's great mercy. No attempt to remain secret, rather an open proclamation. Well, that's the backward-looking aspect of repentance, but there's a forward-looking aspect to repentance as well. John would preach, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Change the course of your life. If you're genuinely remorseful, break with your evil past. Many of you know the name John Newton, the man who wrote what is perhaps the most famous hymn in the English language, Amazing Grace. But did you also know that before his conversion, Newton was the captain of a slave ship? In his own written words, he admitted he was absolutely ruthless with the slaves. He mounted guns and muskets on the deck. He aimed them at the slaves' quarters. He had the slaves horribly whipped, and he put them in thumb screws to keep them quiet. Now that you know that, do you understand why he sings of the amazing grace that saved a wretch like me? Some have wanted him to say that saved a one like me, but Newton would never have allowed us to sing that. He wanted the word wretch. You know, whenever I tell that story, some people feel quite upset with me. So he repented, did he? Well, that didn't help the lives of the families he ruined, did it? And that would be right. He could never make that right. But did you also know that John Newton, as pastor, mentored William Wilberforce, the politician who's given credit for ending the slave trade in England? Newton also wrote a highly influential tract about what he knew about the slave trade, and the tract changed the hearts of many in England. It was called Thoughts Upon the African Slave Trade, in which he, like King David of old, wanted his country to know of his sins and of the grace of God and of the importance of ending this horrible evil. And in the end, it took Newton some time to get there, but he provided an invaluable help to reaching his nation. And that's what John the Baptist preached. If repentance is genuine, you'll have to change the way you live and what you believe and how you influence people. And all of this, said John, is what you need to do to get ready when the kingdom of heaven arrives. There's so much to learn here, isn't there? See, the way to Jesus is the way of repentance. I wonder what God is saying to you. Is there a sin that you've been clinging to and that it's just time to renounce? End your secrecy with this thing and produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Look, I don't know when Jesus will return a second time, but the time to do business with God is now. The day will come when it is too late. But of course, John was not done. He had one more thing to say. The reason, he says, you must not delay when it comes to repentance is because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For us reading this some 2,000 years later, the explosive force of that announcement has lost some of its weight. But in that day, the day it was made, it set the entire city of Jerusalem on edge. I don't have time to explain everything that the phrase kingdom of heaven would have meant for the Jews, but let me very quickly run through a series of things it would have meant. First, it was the fulfillment of the promise made to King David of old, that one of his descendants would mount the throne and rule not only Israel, but all the nations. Second, it meant that the day of the Lord was at hand, the time when God would judge the nations. Third, it was the time in which the new heavens and the new earth were about to be revealed. Fourth, it was the time of the inauguration of the new covenant with God that Jeremiah had spoken about. And fifth, it was the planting of God's rule, not just on paper, but in the hearts of men and women. And lastly, it meant the utter and complete overthrow of evil and of Satan himself. Now, some of us might say, well, wait a minute. All that stuff didn't happen. In essence, life went on just as it always had. And over the next few days, I hope to show you why it did happen, just the way John announced it. But I want to make sure at this juncture that we do not get ahead of ourselves. For now, let's just notice that when John announced the kingdom, it brought an incredible amount of expectation, which led to repentance. And I've said that the way to Jesus is the way of expectation and of hope. Things aren't going to just carry on the way they always have. The Messiah is coming. And you and I need that hope deeply implanted as an ever expectation. But back to our theme. Jesus appeared on the scene after God had prepared just such a message. He created an expectation in the hearts of people. First came the announcement of a kingdom, and then only after that came the king. What we do with that message is to realize that all the great moments in which God reveals his glory are done not on impulse or according to the plans of human beings, but they're designed in heaven. We too, just like the citizens of Israel in the time of John the Baptist, stand before a great moment in history, and that moment is called the second coming of Jesus. And if John were here, he would say, "Then your day is as significant as mine. Repent and live with expectancy." So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to discuss how God prepared for the coming of his Messiah. And as we retell the story, we'll continue to come back to the theme of John. Repent and believe. Live in the light of the revelation of the glory of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we move towards the Easter season, Heavenly Father, I pray that we would see how great and glorious is the King who has come to us. His name is Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. John, for that message. It's so encouraging to know that God desires for us a new beginning, and it starts with repentance and breaking away from our sinful past. Join us again tomorrow as Dr. Neufeld continues the series, The King Goes Public, with a new message entitled, The Preparation for the Kingdom. And remember, you can hear Back to the Bible right here on this station or visit us anytime at backtothebible.in. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are excited to announce that Back to the Bible has launched a brand new website which offers all of our Bible teaching resources, including the on-air messages of Dr. John Neufeld. News about the ministry, including events like our upcoming Pastor's Fellowship this coming February, our Bible teaching correspondent courses, an opportunity to receive our bi-monthly magazine Confident Living, a variety of books and materials. With the new website, there is never a reason to miss another Bible teaching message from Dr. John Neufeld. And you can order every program that you hear or complete Bible teaching series on CD. So why not visit backtothebible.in today? That is backtothebible.in. Or for more information, call us at 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070.